do ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you tonight. As always, we depended upon the Lord and His blessing to be able to preach the gospel. Appreciate the prayer that's been offered, good singing and good fellowship that we've enjoyed already. Been a real joy to be able to gather here tonight and to see each of you. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, my mind tonight, I feel led to read in your hearing and try to speak from a passage of Scripture found in the writing of the book of 1 Peter. And I'd like to begin right at the very first verse of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. And we'll read a portion of this, and the Lord will bless us with liberty, trying to share a few thoughts that God has allowed us to have and see in this passage. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus and Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And that's reading through the ninth verse of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. The message here given by the Apostle Peter unto the strangers that were scattered abroad throughout Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia is a message that's also given to us tonight as the Lord's church, as God's children. As he addresses them as strangers, I believe primarily speaking unto the Jews that were scattered abroad, but not only to the Jews, but to God's people out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and people that have been born of the Spirit of God, they are no longer at home in this old world once the Lord has worked a work of grace in their heart. There are some changes that have taken place. Matter of fact, their entire life has changed. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, wherefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and behold, all things have become new. And though prior to that you felt very much at home in this old world and felt to be a part of this old world, once that work of grace has taken place in your life, you have changed. And that old man, that old woman has passed in the sense that there is since dead, and not completely dead because they're still there to contend with. We have that warfare that goes on between the inner man and the outer man. And one of the great battles that the little child of grace fights in their life is keeping the old man under subjection, putting off the old man, the old woman, with their deeds, putting on the new man. And that's a labor that we're to constantly battle in this world. But really, if we lived after the old man, we live after death, because ye are dead. The Bible says that ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so that old person, that old man, that old life is really gone. And we are now, though we were at home in this world, which really is not a good place to be. I hope tonight you're not at home in this world. I hope you don't feel like this world is just my home, that I'm just at home in this world. I, I believe in the church. I found a home that's in the world, and it's been a home to me and a blessing to me and in the fellowship of God's children. But outside of the church, I certainly don't feel to be at home in this world. I feel like I'm in an upside down place, an untoward place, a place that doesn't understand me, a place that doesn't think like me, that doesn't really enjoy the things I enjoy, love the things that I love. Now, there was a time that I loved the things that the world loves, and there was a time that I enjoyed in part the things the world enjoy, and still a nature in me is pulled and prone to wander. I still feel that attraction that's there in the world. But there's a spirit that's, I'm thankful and hope and pray that I'm not deceived about this, that there's a spirit in me that doesn't just want the things of the world. There's an emptiness that I get from the world. The world can't be my joy. I can't go to the world to find my joy. I can't go to the world to find my peace. I can't go to the world to find my happiness. I can't go to the world to find my completeness. I can't go to the world to fill the void that is in me as a result of the work, I hope and pray, of the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart, where He has given me a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. And prior to the work of grace, I didn't have any hunger. I didn't have any thirst, because you and I, prior to a work of grace, were dead in trespasses and in sins. We were at home in this world. We were just, the only thing we wanted was to be able to live long. And just, you know, to be able to keep our youth as long as we can, to enjoy as much of the good time we can have of this world. There's a whole lot of people that work all the way Monday through Friday so they can have a good time on Saturday and Sunday. And their good time isn't talking about getting to a church meeting somewhere. It's talking about getting to a place that they can't wait to be. Most of the time, those places were not for the grace of God. They have been maybe a home for us. And by the grace of God, there's a change that's taken place. Those places, we would not be comfortable. The place that the world is comfortable with, we wouldn't be comfortable there. I hope not any longer. Now, there's an old nature that's prone to that, that leads to that, that sometimes will think, well, I need a little bit of that too. I'm missing this good time in this world. I'll tell you, the Lord has worked in my life to the point that, I'm over that. I'm not saying I'm not having plenty of things to deal with, but that good time that so many people can't wait to get on the weekend, a good time for me is just what I've kind of tried to have and enjoy this weekend, and that's getting from one meeting to the next meeting and stopping at a 7-Eleven, get a cup of coffee and a couple of bananas and move on. And it's just to get to another meeting. And it has been a blessing. It has been a blessing because it's where I get my food. It's where I get my nourishment. It's where I get fed from the Scripture. It's where I hear about the Lord. It's a place in this world that I feel is a home, that I'm not a stranger. Everywhere else I can be in a crowd and feel all alone. You ever been there? You ever been like everybody else seems to be? Oh, they're right there, and I'm just as much by myself as if I was by myself. And when I come to the... And even, it's not the place. Listen, we could fill this place up with all kinds of the world, and if we did, we'd be just as much not at home here as we are tonight. Tonight, we didn't come in to bring the world with us. I think every one of us tried to leave as much of the world that we carry with us behind us. And in a meeting, I hope we're making a very conscious effort as much as we can to get over that part of us that is of the world and in the world. As much as we can, we want to leave that out there. I want to leave my problems outside. I want to leave my cares outside. I want to leave my concern outside. I don't want to come in here bringing in all of the things I got on the job and this and that and all the things in my mind. I want to come here as best as I can and take off old Gary and his deeds and put on the inner man so I can sit in the Spirit of God and feel at home in His church and in the place He's provided for us. I am a stranger here below. And as the hymn writer said, and what I am, 'tis hard to know. And then he states, I'm so vile, so full of sin. That's a statement of a little child of grace. I believe when I said that tonight, you could say, well, he was talking about me. Now, the world won't say that. As a matter of fact, the world will get mad at you if you tell them you're a sinner and rotten and no good. You better watch out, because unless the Lord's awakening them to that, you'll not make them happy with that. They will hate you. And Jesus said, don't be surprised when the world hates you, because they hated me. And if we're going to walk with Him and act and behave like He would have us to act and behave, the world will not be neutral with us. They will despise us. They will despise you and everything that you stand for if you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and the principles that He tells us to build our life upon. And the more humbly you stand on it, the more they'll hate you, even for your humility. You know, we're living in a world that doesn't count humility for very much. You just go on a job and try to get a job by being real humble. They'll tell you quick, if you don't toot your own horn, nobody else is going to toot it for you. Listen, God's little children, we're not supposed to be tooting our horn. We got a horn to toot, but it ain't ours, it's His. And when you do that, people don't want to hear about that. They don't mind you saying, I'm it. They'll take that. But if you say Jesus is it, you've got somebody upset with you. But I'm going to tell you tonight, Jesus is our everything. And He is my strength, He is my life, He is my salvation, He is my hope, He is the only hope of heaven for me, and the only hope of living in this world with a measure of peace and joy and happiness is in Jesus. The hope of my home lasting is Jesus. The hope of me being happy on the job is Jesus. The hope of our nation is Jesus. Listen, the hope of our family, the hope of our church, He is the hope. He is the only hope. There is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And you can take that word saved and apply it eternally. You can take that word saved and apply it in time. He is my timely deliverer. He is my eternal deliverer. Outside of Him, I have no deliverance. And if I don't take the name of Jesus, listen, I've been made a stranger to know I can't cut it on my own. Are you there? If you're there, Peter's writing to you. That's wonderful, isn't it? He's writing to you as a little stranger here below. You may feel like, well, I don't know how I'm going to make it in this world. It's not my home. Well, it wasn't their home either. Peter said, I got some words for those little strangers. And they're scattered abroad. They were throughout all these different places. I believe there's strangers in Front Row. I believe there's strangers in Winchester. I believe there's even strangers in the state of Maryland. I believe there's strangers all over God's. All over this world, God has a people out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. They're not strangers to the Lord, because the Lord knows them all. He knows every one of them by name. He says the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. So they're not strangers to Him. But because they are His and His elect and His chosen, and He's worked in them, He's created in them a new life which makes them a stranger here in this world, they simply don't fit in. And you find them along the way. Some of them are trying to fit in this order or that order and some other doctrine or this religion or that religion. They're trying to find peace. They're listening and they're hungry. They'll eat anything almost that they can get, because they're so hungry and they feel this emptiness, and they're trying to fill that emptiness with all kinds of stuff, and they go after this and they go after that, and it doesn't, as a little lamb. Listen, lambs need sheep food, and it's only sheep food that's going to make you feel better and grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Little babes need the sincere milk of the Word. That's what you need. And the place that is found is from God's Word. And as a little baby, you're to come here tonight and enjoy and feed on the sincere milk of the Word. It helps a stranger here in this world. He said these strangers were elect. That's a good word, isn't it? Elect. We believe in election. We believe God made choice of a people. If God hadn't elected a people, there would have been no hope for anybody. Somebody said, I don't like much that doctrine of election. I love it. I love the doctrine of election, because it shows God's love and how loving God did. God didn't just go happen to fall upon some bride. God chose His bride. He looked down upon her and with an eye of love, And when with an eternal love He chose His bride, and though she was in a very horrible condition, He washed her up, cleaned her up, made her fit so that she's the beauty and the glory even of this world, because it's His glory that He's placed upon her. And that's the reason the church looks so good to you. And the only reason the church has been a home to you is because the husband of the church has clothed his bride in apparel that is appealing, that gives you a place of joy and peace and forgiveness and rest and a home. I got a home here below. Why? Because the husband chose a bride, because the Lord chose His church and He's called them out. And then He built His church and put it here in this world. And He says to you that He's talking to the elect. And He's there, the elect, not by just willy-nilly. He chose them. He made a conscious choice of them. And why did God do that? Because it pleased Him to do that. That's one thing we can say about our Lord. The heathen might say, "Where is your God?" I'll tell you where He is. He's in the heavens. That's what the psalmist said. Our God is in the heavens, and He had done whatsoever He had pleased. Aren't you glad we serve that kind of God? He didn't ask Gary's permission. He didn't ask your permission. He didn't come knocking at your heart's door, begging you and pleading you, "Please open your heart's door so I can come in." He came and knocked your playhouse down. He took you out of the dunghills of this world and pulled you up out of the dunghills that you would have continued to happily be in. And He pulled you out and put your feet on a rock and put a new song in your mouth. Even praises unto our God. Listen, if you've ever sung from your heart praises unto God, it wasn't you who decided to do that. It was the Lord who worked in you and gave you the want to and the ability. And if He's done that for you, thanks be to God, because it's an eternal work, and that work of grace in your heart is going to, He said that He who has begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And there's absolutely nothing that can separate you from His love. And I'll even say it this way, His electing love. You see, just like a husband sees a woman and says, "That's my bride, I want to marry her." Jesus looked and saw His church. Now, usually we husbands or men don't go looking for the ugliest woman in town and say, "I think I'm going to pick her." That's usually not the way we do it. Wives don't go looking around and say, "I'm going to find some ugly man and get him. I'm looking for the ugliest one I can find." Sometimes it might look like that's what they did, but that's not what they did. Don't want to be hard. But that's what they did. I'm telling you, when Jesus picked His bride, we were like a little babe cast out in an open field. Wasn't one good thing about us. Not one thing appealing. He looked upon all of His children, every one of them, and He saw us in our sin. Listen, you think about your best day. Even in your best day, you got enough wrong with you that you would be that little babe in an open field. Much less my worst day. He knew every sin that we'd ever commit. He knew not only what we would be as we are now by His grace. He knew what we would be had His grace never intervened in our life. Can you imagine, as much as we messed up, what it would be like in our lives if His grace was not restraining us and His grace had never made a change in our life? There's not anybody we could point at and say, "Boy, I'm glad I'm not like that." Because but for the grace of God, that is you and that is me. Even the worst acts that we can think about in this world. You know where that comes from? It comes out of a nature that's fallen and depraved. And that's every man, woman, boy, and girl. We have that same nature in us. And why then is this world as good as it is, even though it's in a mess? Why is it as good as it is? It's because of the restraining grace of God and the fact that God has worked in the lives of His people and changed them. And when God saw His bride, though, she was polluted in her own blood. That's what Ezekiel said. She was cast out in the open field. And He came by her, and it was a time of love. And He came over her and He said, "Live." Again, He said, "Live." And then she grew up and she became beautiful because He gave her life. And then He clothed her in His garments. Listen, the Lord's given us garments to wear. He's taught us how to treat one another. He's taught us how to behave. He's worked it on the inside that you're supposed to work it on the outside. He's given us the ability to forgive one another. He's given us the ability to love one another. And love suffers long, to bear up with one another. He's given us kindness. I've found a place of kindness. You know why? Because Jesus has taught people to be kind. And He's given them the blessing to be kind. He's given us a place of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit that He has supplied unto us. He's given us that kind of home. We were strangers in this old world and would never have had a place had He not given us a place. He has chosen His people and elect people. And He did it according to the foreknowledge of God. That is talking about His love. His foreknowledge embraces His love. He not only knew you, He knew all the condition you would be in and what you would be without Him. Somebody said, well, that means He knew who would do this and who would do that, and based on them doing something, then He responded. We know different from that because Romans 9 is in the Bible. Romans 9 tells us that God made choice of Jacob and Esau, and it wasn't based on anything Jacob had done or Esau had done, but according to God's own choice. And God had a right to choose whatever bride He saw fit to choose. And somebody said, well, why didn't He choose everybody? I don't know. I just know He chose whom He did. I'm thankful He chose somebody. Not only somebody, but He's the first. But the Bible says Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. That means God has people that you and I probably have no clue are His people. And that's why we better act differently sometimes than we do in this world. We think, well, I'm in this world, I'll just act like I want to. No, you never know when you're dealing with one of God's little children. You think sometimes God's little children will be found in the bars of this world? Well, I know they're found there. You think they might be in the prisons of this world? I know they're there. And I'm telling you, but for the grace of God, old Gary would right now be in the bar or the prison, and maybe both, if it were not for the grace of God. I don't know if it's the same, can't get there at the same time. Maybe I don't know if it's bars and prisons. What I'm saying, dear brethren, we need to remember, but for the grace of God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm so glad for His election that chose an old sinner like me and has pulled me out of the things I would have been in, even though I got so much that's wrong, even at this point with me. If it had not been for His work with me, and He hadn't give up on me, because He'll chase me. When I mess up, He'll chase me. I don't get away with it. Sometimes I want to just do what I want to do, and the Lord doesn't let me just do what I want to do. He'll take me to the woodshed. He'll correct me. He'll instruct me. He won't let me get by with it. And sometimes I get by with everybody else, but then I've got to deal with Him in the sense of my thoughts. I know He's present with me, and I have to answer to Him, and it breaks my heart. Sin just, in my own life, can break my heart. The only way I can find a peace and a rest with it is to be able to come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me, and know that He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. Brethren, tonight, every time we pray, we need to pray, Lord, forgive us of our sins. Because you say, well, I just prayed it. Well, you can pray it again, because even in praying it, we haven't done it as good as we ought to. When do we get through that? Somebody says, well, when does God give up on somebody? After they've sinned so much, would God give up? Sometimes people give up on you. God forbid this church ever gives up on somebody. I pray you won't. I pray that if the Lord gives them a heart to ask for repentance, that you forgive them. And the day we don't do that, I'm mighty fearful we would lose our identity as the Lord's church. If I ever called on the Lord and He didn't forgive me, which He said He would always do, and I believe Him, don't you? I want to believe Him tonight. He said this, that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'll tell you, Gary, I need that tonight, and you do too. And I will need it when I get home tonight. I'll need it when I get up in the morning. I'll need it as I go to work. I need it in my life. I need to feel the sprinkling of His blood, the application of His forgiveness in my life, so that I'm not hoping and trusting in what I've done. Listen, I'll never merit heaven. I'll never earn it. If I had to earn it, there's no hope for me, and there's no hope for you either. The only hope we have is the wonderful hope, the sweet hope, the ever present hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is the one who forgives us. And as He has forgiven us, the Bible says, as He has forgiven us, we are to forgive one another. Elect, according to the foreknowledge of God. Then if it's not talking about God knowing we do something, listen, we'd never do anything. Then what does that mean? That means God saw us in our need and loved us in spite of our need and did what was necessary, that He, in His foreknowledge, knowing us, He elected us. And listen, our salvation was not completely finished until Jesus died on the cross, but it was just as good as done when God made His sovereign choice of us in eternity past. That's about the best way I can describe it. God does not change. And if God has ever loved you, get this, because some people who love the Lord and I believe the Lord loves them, don't understand this. If He's ever loved you, He will always love you. He will never stop loving you. And does it make any sense to think about a God who might love you having to send you to hell because He doesn't have the power to save whom He loves? The answer to that question is absolutely. That cannot be so. The good news is that the God who loved you has always loved you. He will forever love you. And everyone whom He's loved, there's absolutely nothing that can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's how you and I tonight could open our books and turn to number 50 and sing Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Because if that isn't our foretaste of glory, we don't have one. But we have one in Him. Because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Elect. Love election. God made choice of His people. Elect. When did He elect them? The old brother said that election's over and the polls are closed. He elected His people before the very foundation of the world. He's not adding to that number tonight. He's not going to take from that number. There's not one that's going to fall from that number. God made sovereign choice of them. God saw fit to love them. Nothing can separate them from His love. He sent His only begotten Son for them. It was for them that Jesus died. It was for them that the blood flowed. That blood was applied to them. They were washed and cleaned. And they stand before God now in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, reconciled unto God, which means in the mind and purpose of God, He's at peace with them. And because of that, you and I ought to be at peace with the Lord tonight. Be ye reconciled unto God, who has reconciled Himself, who has been reconciled. Not He hasn't been reconciled. We have been reconciled unto Him. And there's a big difference in those two ideas. God didn't change His mind and start thinking something else. He didn't need to change. You and I needed to change Him. And to be reconciled, God didn't get reconciled unto us. We were reconciled unto Him. How? Jesus brought us to in a place where we would be at peace with the Lord through His finished work. God's righteousness has never changed. God didn't move one iota from being the perfect, righteous God that He is. I'm sure glad we have a God that doesn't change. He doesn't change. He changes not. Which means if He's ever got you, you'll always be His. You'll always belong to Him. You can be kicking and screaming, but you're His. You can go in obedience and find the joy of being close to Him in obedience, or you can go pulling and crying. He's going to love you enough to spank you. He's going to lay it on you. He's going to scourge you. Every child, every son, every daughter, He loves you enough to correct you. He has the power, and the scripture here says we're going to be kept by the power of God. Listen, is God's power not able to keep His people? I believe He's kept His word. I can count on His word tonight because God's kept His word. And just as sure as He's kept His word, He'll keep His children. He won't lose a one of them. And they may get in a lot of mess in this world. God's children have and will. And we never know what we're going to face in this world. We can count on this, that no matter what, the Lord will be with us. And sometimes we can really see Him, and sometimes our sins separate us in such a way that we can't see Him. Doesn't mean He isn't there, we just can't feel Him. Can you relate to the hymn writer when he said, how tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see? When you, and that doesn't mean he's not there. It just means you can't see him. I think that's one reason I would come to church, isn't it? Because I want to see him a little better. I want to feel him a little more. Church helps me feel him. Preaching helps me feel him. Listen, preachers need preaching. I went over to Cedar Creek this evening. I wanted to hear preaching, and the preaching helped me feel him better. I need it. I need preaching too. I sometimes enjoy my own preaching. Most time I get through it, and I need to hear it. And when I'm there and I can feel the Lord's presence, I sit on a pew and I just sometimes get excited. You know, it makes me want to preach when I hear good preaching. It makes me want to preach. When you want to preach, they'll let you. And when you don't want to preach, they won't call. I mean, when you want to preach, they won't call on you. And when you don't want to preach, you call on you. That's all. I'm just so thankful the Lord has seen fit to bless us to feel his presence. These people were elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. Now notice the work of the Spirit here. We got God the Father and God the Son. Again, the Trinity. God the Holy Spirit. You'll see this throughout the Bible. The work of God the Father. The work of God the Son. And now the work of the Holy Spirit. We were sanctified by the Spirit. That means the Spirit set you apart. Spirit came into your heart. Changed you all. Worked on you. It took up his abode in your heart. You were born of the Spirit of God, born again, made a new creature. Not by your choice, but by the work of God, sovereign work of God, done by the power of God. God didn't have any problem doing it, just like he doesn't have any trouble blowing that wind wherever he wants to. And though you can not see the wind, you can see the effects of it. And I couldn't see the Spirit come in your life, but I sure saw the effects of it. I've seen people that used to frown, smile in the preaching of the gospel. I've seen some people that just like they didn't want to have it, and all of a sudden start weeping over it. You know, it's amazing when you see how God can work in a life. Turn your whole life around. You may not even know what was going on, but we know the wind. Evidently the wind blew. You know, you go out and you see a tree blown over. You didn't see the wind, but you see the effects of it. Something happened there. I see the effects of his Spirit. Cause a little brother, a little sister to say, you know, can we go down to the Shenandoah River and go, you know how silly that looks to the world? All the places you could go to be immersed in water in this world, why would you go down, even in the wintertime? I've seen people go in the winter. They've said they had to break ice. Never had to break ice, but I've been in some water that felt like you're breaking ice. You go over on Thornton's Gap on a November day, and I've been there, and you get in that little pool of water on a November, and it feels cold enough like you. It looked like it ought to be ice when you get in it. I've taken some folks in the water I never thought was going in the water. Been a blessing, too. Sweet memories. You talking about memories? Precious memories. Seeing them want to follow Jesus. I want to live life to honor him. I want to glorify him. Knowing they're going to not do it all the way, but they know in him I can do it. I can do what I need to do. And let me go, you know, the world look at that and say, what in the world are they doing going there and put, why would they do that? Because he said this is what we should do. And it honors him. It pictures his death and his burial and his resurrection in a way all the preaching in the world. You know, it's wonderful to have good preaching, but a baptism, boy, it preaches, doesn't it? By the visual of one dying, one going down and coming up out of the water, pictures the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that person's life, it pictures their desire to follow him, that I want to die to that old man, I want to leave him there, and I want to live in newness of life. I want to walk following Jesus. And I know that that old man that I used to be, no longer here. I got a new life. No sins get washed off of you. No, nothing gets washed down the stream. You go. Somebody said he went down a sinner and he came up a sinner. Listen, that's true of every one of us. We went down one and we came up one, but you went down different and you come up different. It's a change. There's a change. Doesn't make you a child of God, but it's sure it, there is something that you get, and it's an answer of a good conscience towards God, and you have a peace about that in your heart. And a joy in being able to do it. And then a commitment. that you made, I want to follow the Lord. I want to follow Him. The Spirit is what causes that. You're being set apart by the Spirit. You would never do that if it hadn't been a work of the Spirit in your heart. You never want to be a part of the church. What do I want to be a part of that old fogey bunch over there? You know, they don't even have instruments. I don't want to. Why would I want to sing? They don't sing too hot. You know, sometimes they sing pretty good. Most time not. Why would I want to be there? Listen, I have found in little congregations of two or three or more, I found such joy and peace and rest. But if it hadn't been for the work of the Spirit, I'd have seen no beauty whatsoever there. I wouldn't got it. And even now, when I can't feel His Spirit, I'm cold. There are times you come to church and you can be cold. You've been there. When you feel His Spirit, you're warm. When you don't feel His Spirit, you can be the same preacher in the stand. He could even be preaching on the same thing at one time, moved your heart. You can sing a hymn at one time that moves you so much you wonder how in the world could I ever sing it, and then later on sing it and not have it move you at all. What's the difference? One is when you have the manifestation of the Spirit in your heart. Don't you want to? I desire to have a closer walk with the Lord. I have a desire to follow Him closer in my life and live for Him. And if you have that in you, it's because you've been set apart, sanctified by the Spirit. Sanctification of the Spirit. Unto obedience. He's called us unto obedience. You see, the Lord did not call us to be any kind of behavior. He's called us to be obedient. Now, I spent a lot of times talking about how there's not anything you can add to your salvation, not anything you can do to be His child, nothing you can do to get to heaven, and now we're talking about we need to be obedient. Well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm telling you, when the Lord works in your life, He doesn't say just live like you want to, do what you want to. He's called us unto obedience. But our obedience is never going to be that which merits heaven. It will never be that. And if we're trusting in that, we'll never have peace. But if you have the work of grace in your heart, you will never truly be happy until you walk in obedience. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. That means to walk by faith, and when He tells you what to do, do it. It's just that plain. Sometimes I go like, but I don't want to. And that's the old flesh. And when I don't want to, then He chastens me and corrects me because He loves me. And that's how He works with us. Sanctified by the Spirit. Unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood of Jesus, we'd still be in our sins. We need the blood of Jesus so that our worship will be acceptable unto God. We need the blood of Jesus so our prayers can be heard by the Lord. We need the blood of Jesus so that we can love one another like we ought to. We need the application of His blood in every area of our life. And the good news is that blood has been shed, has been applied to us. That work is a finished work. It's complete. And what can wash away my sins? We sang that tonight. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And then He says, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. That multiplication makes things big quick, doesn't it? You know, addition kind of, it's good things to have addition, but multiplying makes things big quick. You start multiplying grace and peace. I need that. I need grace and peace multiplied. And He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. Which means if you're born of His Spirit, you've been begotten unto a lively hope. And it wasn't because you deserve it, but because of His mercy. Because of His mercy wasn't a little bit, it was abundant. And we all needed abundant mercy. Unto a lively hope, and that by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus went to the grave, but He didn't stay there because He finished the work the Father gave Him to do. And by the same power that brought Jesus from the grave, you and I have been brought out of a state of death to a state of life in Christ. And that same power, when we die and our natural bodies go to the grave, is going to bring this old natural body out of the grave, just as He is the first fruits of them that slept. He will come in like manner, just as sure as Jesus died and rose again, we will rise again. That's why when you lose dear sister or loved one, You don't lose them forever, because we know there's going to be, they belong to the Lord. He's coming again, and to be absent from the body, they're already with the Lord. They're already in a better place. But then He's coming again, and there's going to be a resurrection of the body, and body, soul, and spirit. We're going to all be with the Lord forever in glory. And this little old time world is just a vapor, a puff of smoke compared to the eternity that awaits us. We have every reason tonight to be happy, and absolutely in the Lord, no reason to be sad or fearful or full of doubt. And if that's where we are, let's put off that old man that's full of that stuff and put on the new man that doesn't have any of that stuff in him. But he's renewed in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. You got an inheritance. Sometimes in this old world, we just like to think we had an inheritance. Wouldn't it be nice sometimes if you think about it? We think it would be nice. You know, I've found mostly, though, in this old world, people that have inheritance end up fighting a whole lot about it. There's a whole lot of fussing and feuding going on in this world over inheritance. Because somebody didn't get it, thought they deserved it, and somebody who got it wanted more or something. It's just a lot of fussing and feuding over inheritance. That isn't the point here. This is an inheritance that is a wonderful inheritance. There's something that awaits God's children. There's an inheritance. Not something you put up, not something that was given to you because you deserved it, but something that has been stored and reserved for you, something that has been preserved for you. There is an inheritance that is incorruptible. That means nobody can get in there and take your inheritance. That inheritance awaits you. Purchased by the blood of Jesus. It's incorruptible. It is undefiled. You can't mess this inheritance up. And that fadeth not away. It's not going to fade away. Listen, as we grow older, that inheritance doesn't get dimmer. It gets brighter. There's an inheritance that awaits, that fadeth not away. And get this, it's reserved in heaven for you. You might reserve a room down here and get there and they'll say, we don't have it. We forgot it. Somebody else got it. But in heaven, that's not going to be the case. It's reserved, and get this, it's not just reserved in general for somebody. It's reserved specifically for you. Who? The elect. Every one of His children will be at home one day with Him in glory without the loss of one. They have a reservation made for them for an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's reserved for them in heaven. It's just as sure as Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's just that sure. There's nothing I can do in this world to lose it. There's nothing I can do to make it better. It's been done for us by the grace of God and the mercy of God. No wonder He said, grace and mercy be multiplied unto you. And those that He's talking to are kept. You are kept. Aren't you glad you're kept? You, as the bride, He keeps His bride. He chose His bride. He loves His bride. He clothes His bride. He washed His bride in His own blood. And He keeps His bride by the power of God. He who are kept by the power of God. And that through faith. He works faith in us. Which is talking not only about our eternal destiny. But here in this time world, as you face the troubles and the problems that are here in this world, by faith, trusting in God, you're kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, which is deliverance. Ready to be revealed in the last time. The fullness of that deliverance is going to come when we die and leave this old world. But until that time, we have deliverance every day you live. He daily delivers us. He daily saves us. We need it. We need that deliverance. And He says, wherein you greatly rejoice. I hope this makes you happy. I hope you can read this and get happy. Happy in the Lord. You greatly rejoice. Not always do we rejoice, though, because He says, though now for a season, if need be, sometimes in your life you get a tough spot. Aren't you glad the Lord knew that and gave that here in His Word? If we were always supposed to be happy all the time, sometimes I wouldn't be His. If being His means I'm always be happy there. Sometimes I'm not there. He said, if need be, he says... For though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness. Sometimes you and I are in heaviness. You ever been in heaviness? How? Through manifold temptations, which means many, many temptations, many troubles. We get hit with them sometimes. He says, and there's a purpose though of that. You know, why would I have to go through that? Because your faith needs to be tried. So I get in those troubles. I don't like them, but they're needful, aren't they? You know, I thought about that today. You know, I've said it before, but I really thought about it a lot today. Suffering, you wonder why we have to go through any suffering. You realize if we lived our life without ever having a pain or ever having to suffer at all, we would have no concept of the cross. We wouldn't be able to relate to that at all. We wouldn't know what that was. Now, we've never had the pain and the trouble that the Lord had on the earth. Never will. We'll never suffer like He suffered. But the more we suffer, the more we can really have fellowship with Him in those sufferings. We can understand a little bit, just a taste or a touch more of what He went through for us. When you have trials and temptations in your life, it makes you trust in the Lord. You got to go, I can't see, so I'm in the dark, so Lord help me. I need You by faith to be my light. And when you trust in the Lord, good things happen. Have you found that to be the case? When you trust in yourself, bad things always happen. But when you trust in the Lord, things are always better. Good things happen when we trust in the Lord. And we trust in Him many times when the trials come. We don't want the trial. We don't want to have it, but it'll bring you to the feet of the cross. And you can say, I got to trust in the Lord. When things are going pretty well, we think, I'm handling this. Boy, I'm going along pretty smooth. But then you get hit with something. You go like, oh, what are we going to do? I better remember where my help comes from. And we start trusting in the Lord. And then you try your faith. And guess what? You don't have to guess. Faith works every time. Because it's God's faith given to us. When you trust the Lord, it's going to be okay. It may not be just like you want it to be, but what you want to be isn't always best. And that's hard for us to stomach. Sometimes the world doesn't want that. We want a God who's going to answer with our beck and call, just so whatever we tell Him, He'll do it. And that's kind of the way we think is in the nature of man. That's the kind of God we want. But listen, what we really need is a God who is the God that we have, who knows better what we need than we even know what to ask for. So when we go to Him, we say, Lord, this is what I need, but if it's not Thy will, may Thy will be done. And that's how Jesus taught us to pray. Not my will. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. Do you think there was ever a time Jesus' will and God's will were ever not together? So why would He ask that and say that way? So that he was teaching us. Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. He was showing us as the Son of Man, He was verily the Son of Man and the Son of God, how it is we're to pray. And it was also showing the gravity of the cross. He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done, which shows what great suffering was awaiting Him at Calvary. And also that there was absolutely no other way you and I could be saved than Him dying on the cross. Some people say, well, that working on the cross, that doesn't matter. Listen, that's everything. If there is no cross, we're still in our sins. We're in trouble tonight. The work of the cross, if it wasn't done for us specifically, we're in trouble tonight. There's no other way. Jesus said that. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. I can deliver that message with all confidence tonight. If you love the Lord, you got a place awaiting for you that you won't miss. So don't worry about dying. You just got a better place to go. A better place than here. An undefiled, incorruptible inheritance. As beautiful as earth is, what is it going to be like up there? My goodness. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold. You know, people think, boy, if I can just get some gold. You're talking about more precious than faith. Even the trial of your faith is more precious than the trial of gold. Listen, gold ain't going all. Gold won't buy you everything. Some people say, gold, if I had enough gold, I could get. You can't buy the things that faith has allowed you to have and given to you, that you have through faith. And faith is, by the way, not something you can purchase. It's the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. though it be tried with fire, might be found. Listen, faith will bring every time as we walk by faith, we will be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, that isn't just talking about when He appears in the finality of it all. He comes in our life. That's what John Newton was writing about when he wrote "How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours When Jesus No Longer I See." Because there were times in those dark moments that Jesus came in a way of appearing to him, and with an eye of faith he was able to see him right here. I felt him tonight, right here. I didn't see him visibly here, but I know he's here. I didn't hear his voice, but I know he's speaking to us. I felt his presence. Because by faith I can see him and know that he's here. And it fills me with joy. I'm trying to talk about it, but it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. May the Lord bless us to feel that presence that is real with us, not only while we're at church, but as you go home tonight. I pray that you take the name of Jesus with you and he'll be right there in your home. When you go in there and something hits you hard, remember the trial of your faith is more precious than of gold, and it'll come forth to the praise and the glory of God when I walk by faith. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. $2.49